5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Bob Peck plays Harry Davis, Julie Berry, Jenny Brown, and Aubrey Woods, Tom Crossland, in Deadfall by R.D. Wingfield.
No. No.
Harry.
Dead. We're all dead.
Harry, wake up.
Eh? What?
The phone.
Well, answer the damn thing.
I'm not supposed to be here.
3 o'clock in the morning. It's probably a wrong number. Answer the damn thing.
2392. Hello? Hello? There's no one there. Oh, just a minute. Yes? Who is it, please? I can't hear you. You'll have to speak up. This is a very bad line. I still can't hear you. Yes? Hello? Hello? We've been cut off.
They'll probably ring back. Who was it?
Oh, a man. I couldn't get his name. Said he had to talk to you about some foreign name. I couldn't make it out. It sounded urgent.
3 o'clock in the morning, I should damn well hope so. We'll give him a couple of minutes.
You were calling out in your sleep again.
Was I?
You shouldn't be smoking.
There's lots of things I shouldn't be doing. I shouldn't be in bed with my typist for a start.
I'm not your typist.
All right, all right. My secretary. He's not going to ring back, is he? Let's get back to sleep. What the hell? Didn't say he was coming round, did he?
No. What are you doing?
I'm going to open the door.
Well, be careful.
Of course I'll be careful. All right, all right. I'm coming. Who is it?
Police. Open up.
Police? What is it?
Mr. Harold Davis. Davis Demolitions.
That's me.
All right, Constable, I'll handle this. Mr. Davis, I'm Detective Sergeant Redway, H Division.
So?
We'd like to come in, if we may, sir. It's about your wife, Mrs. Mary Davis.
You mean my ex-wife? Why, what's happened?
If we could come in, please, sir.
My daughter. Something happened to my daughter.
Your daughter's fine, sir.
I'll do the talking if you don't mind, Constable.
Sorry, Sergeant.
Harry, what is it?
The police! Something happened to Mary. You better come in.
Just one moment, sir. Do you own a car?
Yes. Why?
Where is it, Mr. Davis?
Down in the street, in front of the office. A blue Ford Sierra, B-Reg.
Check it out, would you, Constable?
Right.
What is this? A damn guessing game? I want to know what's going on.
I'll explain inside, sir. No, leave the door. The constable shouldn't be long.
Come in.
What's happened to Mary?
You tell me.
Who is this lady, sir?
Just a friend, Sergeant.
Could you be more specific?
My name is Jenny Brown. I'm Mr. Davis's secretary.
I see.
Dear Sergeant, well, I'm damned if I do. Either tell me what this is about or get out.
Have you been out at all tonight, sir?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, Sergeant, I'm sure.
Your office is on the ground floor?
That's right. I worked in the office until 7, came straight up here and haven't been out since.
Are you able to confirm this, Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Look, I'm not answering any more questions until you condescend to tell me what this is about.
Thought you might have known, sir.
Well, I don't.
Shortly after 1 o'clock this morning, sir, someone broke into your ex-wife's house. He got as far as her bedroom, where he bumped into a bedside table and sent it flying. Your wife...
Ex-wife.
Your ex-wife woke up, screamed. The man ran off.
Did he steal anything?
Not as far as we can tell.
So what's all the fuss about?
He broke in through the ground floor lounge window. It's at the rear, overlooking the garden. But you know the house, don't you, sir?
Yes, I know it. I used to live there. Go on.
Well, as you may remember, there's lots of highly nickable stuff in that lounge. Silver, knick-knacks, the video, portable colour telly. But our burglar ignored all those goodies. He walked straight through the door, up the stairs and into your wife's bedroom.
That's odd.
That's what we thought, miss. We which makes us wonder if perhaps the motive might have been something other than robbery.
If it wasn't robbery, what the hell was it?
You mean rape?
No, sir. When the man ran off, he dropped something. We found this on the bedroom floor.
A polythene bag?
Yes. Sniff it, sir. See if you can recognise the smell.
Plastic explosive.
That's right, sir. Ah, well, Constable.
The gentleman's car is outside, as he said, Sergeant. I checked it. The engine feels stone cold. I don't think it's been driven tonight.
Just a minute. What the hell are you implying?
Do you own a car, miss?
I said, what the hell are you implying?
Do you own a car, miss?
No.
Thank you. We are not implying anything, sir. We are making inquiries. Well, you said you hadn't been out all night.
Not only did I say it, it's true.
You were in bed all the time.
Do you want to feel the bed, Constable? See if that's warm.
That won't be necessary, sir.
Who told you to come here? My ex-wife?
Your ex-wife only got a fleeting glance of the intruder. All she could tell us was that he was roughly your build. She couldn't see his face, unfortunately.
Go on, Sergeant. You have my full attention.
As the motive for the break-in didn't appear to be burglary, we asked Mrs. Davis if she knew of anyone who might wish to harm her. Anyone who had threatened her.
And, of course, she immediately suggested me.
She said you had called at the house 2 days ago and there was a violent quarrel.
She wouldn't let me see my daughter.
Exactly, sir. So you threatened her.
I lost my temper.
Now, I understand you have a very violent temper, sir.
I get irritated very easily, Sergeant, if that's what you mean.
That's what I mean, sir. And you handle plastic explosives in your work.
Yes, Sergeant. Like burglars and safe breakers, I handle plastic explosives in my work. I'm a demolition contractor. What's the theory? I was going to blow her up. And my daughter.
You might not have worked out the consequences.
Well, here's something for you to work out. If I never left here all night, how the hell could I be at my ex-wife's house 50 miles away?
Yes, well, we'll leave it. For now, Mr. Davis. Sorry we troubled you.
Get out.
Yes, sir. Come on, Constable.
Good night, sir. Miss.
The cow. The bloody cow.
Calm down. Harry. What is it? Harry, are you all right? Can I get a doctor?
No. Tablets.
What?
Tablets. The bedside table. The top drawer. Hurry. Open it. Give me one.
Where are you all right?
That's better.
Oh. What was it?
Indigestion.
That wasn't indigestion.
What are you, a doctor all of a sudden?
What are they? The capsules, tetraglycerin.
Highly explosive, they improve your sex life. Now put them back in the drawer.
They're for heart complaints.
Do what you bloody well told us for once, will you? Put them away. Now come on, let's get to bed. This would happen tonight. I've got a busy day tomorrow.
If you've got heart trouble, you shouldn't be handling explosives.
I haven't got heart trouble, damn it. Just a slight problem which is clearing up. Now come on, let's get back to bed.
Harry, breakfast?
I haven't got time for any breakfast. I've got to be on the site by 9.
Want some coffee, then?
All right, make it quick. Come on. Come on.
Right, all right, here.
Just me to oversleep today of all days.
We had a disturbed night.
Yeah. I still haven't forgiven Mary.
Oh, forget it, she's not worth it.
And our mysterious caller didn't ring back, did he? You sure he asked for me?
Positive. Fanica Binder, of course.
What?
It was on the news this morning. President Zanika Binder from some African country is on a state visit to Britain.
So?
Well, that was the name that man mentioned on the phone last night. That was what he wanted to talk to you about.
Kabinda.
Well, does it mean anything?
Oh, something that happened a long time ago, that's all. Doesn't mean anything now. Yeah, if anyone wants me, I'll be down at the site.
Now, keep back, everyone, please. You'll be able to see perfectly well from here.
Excuse me.
Hold on, sir. Where do you think you're going?
I'm with Mr. Davis. Davis, demolition.
Oh, that's him over there, sir. The one with the red tin hat. But I can't let you through, I'm afraid. That factory chimney is coming down any minute. Mr. Davis, someone to see you.
Not now. Put those people further back. We're all ready to blast.
All right. You heard what he said. Now move back, please. All right, back. You just want to get yourselves killed.
All circuits checked, Mr. Davis.
Right.
Okay, Constable. That's fine.
Everyone out?
All out and accounted for.
Good. Sound the alarm. Right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, beautiful, Mr. Davis. Just beautiful.
Okay, get those lorries in. I want this site cleared by the morning.
Fred, send in the lorries.
We've got another factory chimney tomorrow, haven't we?
Yeah, a darn sight bigger than this one.
Oh, I love these factory chimney jobs. Gives me a sense of power to see them topple and fall exactly where we want them.
Providing nothing goes wrong. You like them so much, as a special treat, you can climb up the stack tomorrow. I'll stay down and watch.
No, thanks. I haven't got a head for heights like you. Hello, who's this bloke?
Mr. David.
Could be. Who are you?
Reynolds. Civilian Industrial Insurance.
If you're touting for business, forget it. I'm already insured.
I know you are, Mr. Davis. You're insured with us. Or at least through our subsidiary, City High Risk. I called at your office. Your secretary said you were here, so as the matter was rather urgent and confidential.
Oh. Joe, hop it. Go and chase those lazy gits over there. No one seems to be doing anything.
Right. Come on, you lot. Fingers out. Get cracky.
So, Mr. Reynolds, what's it all about? Sorry I was late sending the cheque, but you should have got it by now.
Yes, we received it, Mr. Davis. In fact, I have it here. I'm afraid I have to return it to you. Here.
What's up? Did it bounce?
We didn't pay it in. I'm sorry, Mr. Davis, but we find ourselves unable to renew your policy.
What are you talking about? You've got to renew it. Without indemnity insurance, people won't employ me. It's a condition of the contract.
We appreciate that, Mr. Davis.
You appreciate it? Well, thank you very much. That was a bloody lot. Why aren't you renewing my policy?
I think you know why, Mr. Davis.
Tell me.
You underwent a medical examination for the purpose of renewal last week. I'm afraid you didn't pass.
If that so-called doctor found anything wrong with me, then he's the one who needs a medical examination.
The examination revealed certain abnormalities with your heart. People subject to heart attacks shouldn't be handling high explosives. I'm sure you see that.
All I can see is that you're putting me out of business.
Your health is putting you out of business, Mr. Davis, not us. Your policy expires at midnight.
What? Today?
You did leave things rather late, Mr. Davis. We kept pressing you to attend that medical.
I've got work lined up. Contracts have been signed. I need the money.
I'm very sorry.
Stick your damn sympathy. What about my other insurance policy, my personal one?
That expires at the end of next week. We won't be renewing that either.
Thank you very much.
I saw a copy of the medical report, Mr. Davis. It is, of course, highly confidential, but...
But what?
I think you would be well advised to see your own doctor as soon as possible.
I've already seen him. Damn doctors, they know nothing.
I can only repeat. I'm very sorry.
Don't shed any tears over me, sunshine. No one's going to put me out of business. I'll find another insurance company. Just you wait and see. For Pete's sake, hurry it up over there. This isn't a bloody funeral. We've got a penalty clause to beat.
Harry? Did you see the man from the insurance company?
Yes, I damn well did. Is it too much to expect to find a clean glass in here?
On the top shelf.
Oh.
Look, I don't know what's gone wrong, but do you mind not taking it out on me?
Oh, pardon me. Sorry. I humbly apologise. Do you want a drink?
Oh, there is more than one clean glass, then.
You want one or not?
Yes, I want one.
There.
Thank you.
I did say I was sorry.
I know, I heard you.
They're not going to renew our indemnity insurance.
Why not?
Because I didn't pass the lousy, stinking medical. According to their quack, I'm too big a risk. I've got a dodgy heart.
What does your own doctor say?
I told you last night.
He says I've got a slight problem. It's trivial, nothing to worry about.
Then why won't they renew our insurance?
Because there is a teensy weensy risk, and insurance companies only insure against dead certs.
Oh. Well, what are we going to do? The firm can't carry on without it.
I'll sort something out. They're not the only insurance company.
You'd better hurry. We've got the other factory chimney job tomorrow.
All right, I'll get it. Davis Demolition. What? I see. Yes, I quite understand. Thank you very much. Correction. We had that factory chimney job. That was them on the phone. They were heard we've got no insurance cover, so they've cancelled the contract.
Oh. Well, how did they find out so soon?
I don't know. I was relying on that money.
Well, there's the cheque to come for today's job.
Well, there'll be money out on that job. We're not going to meet the deadline.
You should never have agreed to those penalty clauses.
I know. You keep telling me. Hold the fort for a while. I'm going out to find us another insurance company.
Oh. No, Davis Demolitions. Hello? Hello? Oh, please yourself. I've made some tea. Do you want some?
No. I've had it up to here with bloody insurance companies.
Oh, I take it you weren't successful.
It's a cartel. They stick together like glue. You think we're at death's bloody door. Look at me. Do I look sick?
You'll make yourself sick if you don't calm down. Davis Demolition. One moment, please. It's the bank.
I'm not here.
I'm afraid Mr. Davis is out of the office at the moment. Can I take a message? I'm his personal secretary. You're calling in our overdraft.
Give me that. Hello, Davis here. Who am I talking to? The manager, good. Now, what's all this rubbish about calling in our overdraft? Yes, I'm perfectly aware of the state of our account. So we're in the red. Big deal. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last. My insurance? Who the hell told you about my insurance? No, you listen to me, chummy. You're just
Harry?
Tablets. Quick, top drawer.
Oh. Here.
Huh? Are you still there? Hello?
I'll call him back.
Hello? I'm afraid Mr. Davis has had to leave the office. He'll call you back. I said he'll call you back.
What are you doing?
I'm going to get you a doctor.
No. No need. I'm all right now.
Well, you don't look it. Oh, go and lie down for a while.
I'm not a flaming invalid. I'll wring that bank manager's neck. I'll blow up his damn bank with him in it.
Oh, don't talk nonsense.
Nonsense? The bank holds the deeds to the office and the flat as security. If they call in the overdraft, we're finished.
They'll pay off some of the money. Well, that'll keep the bank quiet. Sell something.
There's nothing left to sell.
There must be. What about your car?
It isn't my car. It belongs to the finance company.
Insurance policies?
You see this? This is the only insurance policy I've got left. If I die before next Thursday, I'm rich. I get £200,000. After Thursday, I get nothing, because they won't renew it. Any more bright ideas?
Thank you very much, sir. Hello, Mr. Davis. What can I get you?
Double whiskey.
One double whiskey. Help yourself to ice and soda. Anything wrong, Mr. Davis? You look a bit down.
I've just come from seeing my bank manager.
Then you have my deepest sympathy. Someone's been asking for you, Mr. Davis.
Oh, yes, who?
Look in the corner, the camelier coat.
I don't think I know him.
Well, you seem to know you, all right. You said you were old friends.
Oh, yes. And there was me thinking I didn't have a friend in the world. Let's go and see what he wants.
He's asking for me.
Hello, Harry.
Good God. Tom. Tom Crossland.
Good to see you, Harry. Sit down.
What are you after, then? I'm sure it's no coincidence. We suddenly bump into each other after 13 years.
It's never 13 years, is it? Hey, you haven't aged a day. You look fighting fit, old boy.
I don't, and I'm not. Just get to the point.
Now, let's get some drinks in, shall we? Barman,
Two whiskies, when you got a moment.
These are expenses.
Yes.
Make them doubles, George. My friend's paying.
Right you are, Mr. Davis.
So what's this all about? You won't be buying drinks unless you wanted something.
You read me like a book, old boy. I need your help.
Personally or for the section?
The section.
Then forget it.
You don't know what it's about.
I don't want to know. I finished with the section 13 years ago. I want nothing more to do with them. Nothing.
Here are, gentlemen. Ah. Two double whiskies, soda and ice.
Thank you.
I'll just get your change.
Keep the change, George. It's on expenses.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
That was a £5 note, old boy.
The section can afford it. Cheers.
Cheers. I understand you're a professional blower-upper now.
That's right, Davis Demolitions. It's a bit like old times. Only I now make certain there's no one inside before I blow things up.
13 years ago, Harry.
I don't care when it was. I still have nightmares. Those women. And the kids.
Fortunes of war, old boy.
Someone should have checked.
These things happen. They shouldn't have been in the house. All right, you're right. You're right, old boy. As always, somebody should have checked. Cabinda's in England now. Did you know? State visit. Even going to be a reception at Buckingham Palace. Meeting the Queen.
The Queen? The man's a terrorist.
He is now the duly elected president of his country, Harry, which means he wasn't a terrorist. He was a freedom fighter.
He was a butcher. Look, can we get to the point? I've got lots of things to attend to.
It's about the other member of our old trio, Harry. Roger Maltby.
Roger? Is he still with the section?
Yes. Didn't you know?
How could I know? I haven't seen him for 13 years.
I thought you'd been in touch with him recently.
Then you thought wrong.
So it seems. Always getting hold of the wrong end of the stick. Anyway, there's a bit of a mystery about Roger. He was supposed to report into the office early today to tie up some loose ends on an important assignment he'd been working on for months.
And?
And he didn't turn up. Tried to phone him, his phone was out of order. So, the Colonel sent me around to Roger's house to find out what was up.
And what was up?
You don't know.
How the hell should I know?
Well, the house was empty. I had a look round, downstairs back window was broken and the catch was forced. There were signs of disarray. Chairs upturned, beds disturbed with clothes on the floor. As if someone had been dragged out. No car in the garage.
I don't see what any of this has got to do with me.
We were hoping Roger might have said something to you when he spoke to you on the phone, something that might give us a clue.
Spoke to me on the phone? What are you talking about? I haven't spoken to or seen Roger Maltby since I left the section 13 years ago. You wasted your money buying me this whiskey.
Money spent on whiskey is never wasted, old boy. Well, I searched the house thoroughly. Roger's room, the kids' rooms.
Children? I never knew Roger was married.
Yes, beautiful wife. Two lovely kids. Boy of 10, girl of 8. They're all missing. Whatever's happened to them, they were still wearing their night clothes. Their day clothes were still in the bedrooms. Cigarette?
Yeah. Duh.
No clothes in the bedrooms, so I went downstairs to the lounge. Spotted Roger's phone. One of those push-button efforts, last number recall button, you know the sort of thing. Yeah. Press the button, it automatically redials the last number you rang. So, being a nosy old devil, I thought I'd press the button, see what happened.
And?
Worked like a dream. It redialed, there was a ringing tone at the other end, and a young lady answered and said, Davis Demolitions.
Yeah, what?
No mistake, old boy. The last person Roger called before he went missing was you.
But that's impossible. No. Wait a minute. This could have been that weird call, the one Jenny answered.
Jenny?
My secretary.
Ah.
This was just after 3 o'clock in the morning. The call went straight through to the flat. Jenny answered it.
Your staff keep very late hours, old boy.
Do you want to hear what happened or not?
Sorry.
And the voice at the other end was very faint. Jenny could hardly make out what he was saying. Something about Cabinda, and it was very urgent he spoke to me.
Cabinda?
That's what she thought he said.
Did you speak to him?
No, the line went dead. We waited for him to call back, but he didn't.
Ah. Understand you had a visit from the boys in blue last night.
How the hell do you know that?
Section store gets copies of all police reports. Is Mary all right?
Yeah. She screamed, he ran. End of story.
According to the report, he was carrying the explosive.
Apparently. Don't know why. There was no safe he could have blown. My guess is he got in the wrong house.
Is your daughter all right?
Yeah, as far as I can tell. I'm not allowed to see her, you know.
Ah, yes. How old is she now?
16, next birthday.
Just about the age Kabimba's son would have been had he lived.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing, old boy. Just thinking aloud. Now, let's have another drink. George? When you're ready, two the same.
Coming right up.
Come on, what the hell are you getting at?
We killed Kabinda's wife and child. You, me, Roger. Kabinda swore vengeance. He's now in London. Suddenly, Roger and his family go missing. Suddenly, someone, armed with explosives, breaks into your ex-wife's bedroom. Explosives, Harry? That's how we killed Kabinda's wife and son.
Your drink, gentlemen.
Ah, thanks. Here. Ah,
thank you, sir.
You're letting your imagination run away with you.
Am I?
You've been in the section too long, old boy. You're starting to see killers and assassins lurking round every corner. So someone breaks into my old house. Last year, 1 in 40 households had a burglar reported. The odds are this was just a commoner garden burglary attempt, not a 13-year-old vendetta.
But what about Roger and his family? Kabinda made the point that families would suffer as well.
Look.
Huh?
No one knew we did that job. There's no way Kabinda could have found out. No way at all.
Yes, you're right, old boy. I've been getting all twitchy over nothing.
Well, then.
And you've not come across anything?
What do you mean?
No mysterious men trying to blow you up?
The only enemies I've got are bank managers and insurance companies. And they don't need explosives.
Yes, too true, old boy. Well, you've taken a load off my mind. What say we have another drink? George? Two more doubles? Keep them coming.
Right, sir.
No, I've cheered you up. Let me tell you about my bloody worries. I'm being kicked out of my business.
Voila. And this, Your Royal Highness, is the office.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Lovely place, old boy.
And this is the drinks cabinet.
Even lovelier place, old boy.
Oh, it's a lovely little office.
Lovely is very well I was looking for.
Say when?
When the glass can hold no more, that's when, old sport.
So there you are.
Ah. Is this the little woman?
This is Jenny, my secretary.
And she is lovely, too. Lovely little office, lovely little drinks.
Lovely big drinks.
I stand correct, old boy. Lovely big drinks. And lovely little Jenny, your health, madame.
What is this?
Hmm?
A celebration? Harry, did you do it? Did you talk the bank manager into extending our overdraft?
Did I, Eck? This isn't a celebration. Jenny, it's a wake. The bank manager said, no, no.
1,000 times, no.
He ordered me out of his office. Said I was rude and insulting.
Which I'm sure you were. You better give me one of those.
Drink for the lady. If I had my way, you know what I'd do. I'd blow him up.
Yes, you said.
I'd blow up all bank managers, all insurance agents.
And all traffic wardens.
Damn traffic warden, give me a ticket.
You're lucky you weren't breathalyzed. By the way, Harrison Brothers phoned. They're cancelling next Monday's job. They say there's a letter of confirmation in the post.
Well, I'll blow them up as well. Can't do any more jobs, Tom.
Huh.
Insurance people say I've got a weak heart.
You have not got a weak heart, Onspo. You have got a heart of gold. My glass is empty.
No. Give it here. Jenny?
No more for me. I'd better go make some coffee, black and strong.
You stay for coffee, Tom.
I will not miss it, old boy. You've got a little treasure there.
Yes, I know.
Hang on to her. They are few and far between. What's up?
There's something on the floor under my desk. A briefcase. Jenny, what's this briefcase?
What briefcase?
This one on the floor under my desk.
don't know how that got there. It's not yours, is it?
Of course it's not mine.
Well, then open it up and see as it is. Coffee won't be long.
Dumping's locked. Let's see if my key fits.
No, Harry.
What?
I got one of my nasty feelings. We used to leave bombs in briefcases.
You're not suggesting. Let's have a look.
Careful.
You could be right. The lock's wired up.
I'll take that to the section.
Give it here. It may be 13 years, but I still know how to defuse a bomb. There should be some tools in here.
You have had rather a lot to drink, Harry, old boy.
Maybe, but I'm stone cold sober now. Get out of my light.
Sorry. Look, are you sure you know what you're doing?
We'll soon find out if I don't. Pass me that piece of wire.
Like this?
Yep. Right. Let's fix the booby trap. Now, let's take a look inside.
Do be careful.
Tom, I promise you, I don't need telling. Now, shut up.
Sorry.
Timer. Detonator. Charge. Blimey, they made a mess of this wiring. Now, why doesn't this blue wire connect to the detonator? Wait a minute, it's being cut. And joined. So if I cut that there, and here... Look at me, I'm sweating like a pig.
I've got my eyes shut, old boy.
Well, you can open them, because unless I've missed something obvious, it should be safe now. There's the detonator, the timer, and the explosive.
Jeez. It's a hell of a lot of explosive, Harry. To blow this place sky high.
Time to go off in about 30 minutes. Cigarette?
Yes, sir. I'm shaking, old boy.
Of course it's bloody well shaking. Someone tried to kill me. And I don't need three guesses who it was.
Cabinda?
Yeah. You were right. I was wrong. He's got Roger. He tried to get Mary and my daughter. And he almost got me. I want a meeting with the Colonel.
When?
As soon as you like. Tonight. The section got me into this. It can get me out of it. I want protection for myself and my family.
All right. I'll ring you as soon as it's fixed up. And in the meantime, take care.
I will. Don't you worry.
Oh, I'm sorry about the coffee. I've got to be off.
Oh, goodbye. Here's your coffee.
Hey. Jenny, I want you to stay away from the office for a while. Take some time off.
Why?
Because I say so, that's why.
Briefcase, Harry. That's a detonator. Explosives. What's going on?
Nothing that need concern you. You're just a damn secretary. Keep your nose out of my affairs.
I'm just a damn secretary. Am I just a damn secretary when you want me to sleep with you?
I'm sorry. Look, Jenny, something from my past is catching up with me. I don't want you to get involved.
Someone tried to kill you, Harry. Why?
It's a long, boring story. And I don't come out of it too well.
I still want to know.
I've never told you what I did before I started this business, have I?
No. I always thought it was something shady, like safe breaking or something.
It was shady, all right. After I left the army, I was recruited into an undercover offshoot of the Ministry of Defence, Section G7.
I've never heard of it.
Officially, it doesn't exist. We were a sort of civilian version of the SAS. We did all the nasty, dangerous jobs which no one else had the guts to do. Does the name Zana Cabinda mean anything to you?
Cabinda? The president of that African state? He's here on a state visit.
13 years ago, he was a butcher. A killer. Directly responsible for the deaths of hundreds of people. 40 of them British. But now he's the president, we forget all about that. Some of them were just hacked to death.
How did this involve you?
I'm coming to that. His country was, still is, very rich in mineral deposits and oil. We wanted the prospecting rights. So did the Russians. We won. But the Russians were rather bad losers. They poured arms and money into the anti-government guerrilla groups, led by Zana Kabinda. Kabinda raided our mining camps, butchered our people. So the section were called in. We were given the job of finding and killing Kabinda.
They sent you?
No, three of us. The bloke who's just left, Roger Maltby, and me. I was the explosives expert. We sneaked in under fake passports, arms and equipment in the diplomatic bag. Some Russian army experts had fixed up a meeting with Kabinda and the leaders of other guerrilla groups to discuss some sophisticated new weapons. It was to be held at an isolated, disused farmhouse deep in the heart of the jungle. Knowing the date and time of the meeting well in advance meant we could sneak in a couple of days beforehand, wire up explosives and a timing device, and get the hell out of there.
And?
It all went wrong. They must have changed their plans at the last minute. The meeting was switched to another farmhouse 12 miles away. The place we'd wired up with explosives was now used to house the wives and children of the guerrilla leaders.
What happened?
What the hell do you think happened? I was watching television. There was this news flash. Then they showed pictures of the bodies being brought out. Women. Children. Babies. I still have nightmares. Kabinda lost his wife and his three-year-old son. He swore he'd track down their killers. No matter how long it took, he swore they'd be revenged.
What are you going to do?
The section got me into this. They can get me out of it. I'm seeing the colonel tonight.
Calm down, Harry. You're getting paranoic.
Paranoic? I'm entitled to be damn paranoic.
Kabinda doesn't even know you were involved in that business.
Look, last night, a man carrying plastic explosives broke into my ex-wife's house.
Yes, I've read the police report. They seem to think it was you.
Well, it damn well wasn't me. Was I supposed to have kidnapped Roger Maltby and his family as well?
Roger's been under a lot of strain lately. My fault. I should have seen the signs. He was a damn good man.
Was?
I thought you knew. We found the car. They were all inside. He'd killed his wife and children. Then he shot himself.
Good God.
His mind couldn't take the strain. He didn't know what he was doing.
How do you explain the briefcase bomb in my office?
Just how gullible do you think we are?
What do you mean?
I'll draw you a diagram. This bomb of yours, filled with plastic explosive. Exactly the same type of explosive you yourself used.
So?
We try to keep tabs on our ex-employees, Harry, so there's little we don't know about you. You're in financial trouble, your business is finished, and you're dying.
Dying?
Yes, I've seen your medical report. Your only asset is a life insurance policy.
You don't miss a trick, do you?
Well, not without our contacts. The policy expires in a couple of days. You idolize your daughter. You want to leave her some money. You're dying, but not quickly enough for the policy. So you decide to blow yourself up and pretend to be the victim of some African hit squad.
This is sheer fantasy. You haven't got one shred of evidence.
Calm down, Harry, calm down. I don't want you dying in my office.
You bastard. All right. If you won't help, I'll settle this my own way. I'll kill Kabinda before he kills me.
Sit down and listen. You won't even try, Harry. You won't even think about trying. I've got the job of protecting Kabinda while he's in England, and no one, least of all you, is going to get anywhere near him.
We'll see.
I'm warning you, Harry. Kabinda is far too important to us. We want his oil, we want his minerals. Nothing, repeat, nothing is going to happen to him while he is under my protection. He used to work for us. You know the dirty tricks we can get up to. So don't even think of trying anything.
Jenny, what are you doing here? I told you to go.
I'm staying.
Come on, I'll drive you back to your place.
I'm staying.
All right. All right, I'm too tired to argue. Oh. Get that, would you?
2392. Yes, he's here.
Take a message.
He can't come to the phone at the moment. Can I take a message? What? Oh, I see. Yes. Just a moment, please. You'd better take it, Harry. It's the police. Something's happened to your daughter.
Get in. Quick.
Right.
All right, Harry. What is all this secret meeting stuff, old boy?
I want a high-velocity rifle with telescopic night sights and ammunition.
You what?
I'm going to kill Kabinda.
All right, stop the car, old boy. I think I'd better get out.
They tried to get my daughter.
Who?
Kabinda's men. Tried to grab her on her way back from evening classes.
Did they hurt her?
No. She screamed and kicked. They ran back into the car and drove off.
There's no proof it was Kabinda's men.
They were black. They were African.
Uh-huh.
The police think it was just a gang of yobbos. I told them about Kabinda.
Should not have done that, old boy. The colonel won't like it.
I don't give a damn about the colonel. Anyway, the police didn't believe me. They thought I was mad. Especially when I started talking about Roger and his family. Four people dead, and they know nothing about it.
Why? There is a reason, Harry. Look, if it ever leaks out that I've told you...
It won't.
Right. The pathologists put the spanner in the works. Roger was supposed to have strangled his wife and kids and then shot himself.
So?
According to the pathologist, Roger died half an hour before his wife and his kids, and it wasn't suicide.
They were murdered?
Yes.
By Kabinda?
We don't know that for sure, old sport, but...
So the section's going to let him get away with it. We must need his minerals bloody badly. It could be your turn next, Tom. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
He swore he'd get us, Tom. The only way it's going to stop is by killing him. Are you going to get me that rifle?
Do you have a plan?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
You recognize where we are?
Some derelict factory by the river.
That building there, right across the other side.
High Point car block. Where Kabinda's staying.
Exactly.
Look, he couldn't get near it, Harry. That's a fortress. It's custom-built luxury flats for security-conscious millionaires. It's bulletproof, burglar-proof, bomb-proof, fitted with all the latest anti-terrorist devices. No expense spared. Money, no object.
I'm impressed.
In addition to which, the colonel's posted armed guards all over the place.
He hasn't posted armed guards over here, though, has he?
Why should he? It's too far away.
I've got a plan. I could do it. Just get me that rifle.
Look at that tower block, Harry. It's nearly 550 feet high and Kabinda's in the penthouse suite on the roof. How the hell could you shoot him from here?
Easily. If I could get up high enough. Look behind you.
So, derelict factory, sir?
Complete with a dirty, great, derelict 550-foot-high factory chimney.
Which is being demolished tomorrow morning.
Which is not being demolished tomorrow morning. I had the contract. They cancelled it. The new people can't do it till next week.
Ah. Bloody high, Harry. Look, if I got you the rifle, could you climb it?
With my eyes shut.
Were you aiming to shoot him through the penthouse window?
How else?
All those windows are made of 2-inch-thick armoured glass. Your bullets would just bounce off. Sorry, old son. Brave try, but just won't work.
Good morning, all you early birds. First, the news headlines. Tonight, the Queen plays hostess to President Kabinda at a state nosh-up to be held at Buckingham Palace. Because of extra stringent security measures.
Good morning, sunshine. I've done you some breakfast.
I don't want any. I just want you out of here. Davis Demolitions.
Glad you're up, old boy. This is
things urgent. That little problem we discussed last night?
Yes.
I think I can see a way to make your plan work. You interested?
Very much so.
Good. I'll need some plastic explosives and a couple of detonators.
No problem. I'll bring them with me. What about the things I asked for?
You'll have them, old boy. 8 o'clock this evening? Same place as last night?
I'll be there.
Who was that?
Just a friend. With some good news. What were you saying about breakfast?
Harry! Over here! Keep your head down.
You got the rifle?
As per your esteemed order, old boy. Here.
It's Russian.
You didn't expect me to pinch one of the sections standard issued, did you? Here's your ammo. Plus one telescopic night sight.
What's your plan?
Now, use the night sight as a telescope. Take a look at the penthouse flat.
Just a minute. Yes, I see. The roof crawling with armed guards.
Never mind them, old sport. Now look to the left of the main window. You should see a steel door leading onto the roof.
Got it.
Good. Swing further to your left. There's a little extension. Now you should see another steel door.
Yes.
Behind that door are the emergency stairs to the floor below. Now the point is this, old boy. The main lifts only go up as far as the floor below. To reach the penthouse, you have to transfer to a little private lift. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Good. The electricity substation that supplies the block is just down that road. I use your plastic explosive to put it out of action. All the power goes off. And the lifts grind to a halt.
Haven't they got emergency generators?
Yes, of course they have, old love. Can't expect millionaires to walk down 25 flights of stairs, can you? But the emergency generators only work the main lifts, not the private one. So if Kapinda isn't going to be late for his egg and chips with the Queen, he's going to have to use those emergency stairs.
And I pick him off as he crosses the roof.
You like it?
Tom Oldsport? I love it.
Man in position, Colonel.
Good. As soon as the car arrives to take him to the palace, let me know.
Yes, sir.
Jennings, the Colonel. Come in, please.
Travers?
Someone moving about on the roof over the road, sir.
Where?
Behind the main TV aerial.
Got him. All right, it's one of our own men. Over and out. Thompson?
Yes, Colonel.
You're supposed to be concealed. I can see you from here. Over and out.
Shouldn't that car be here by now?
Well, plenty of time, sir. Nearly an hour before he's due at the palace.
I'll be glad when he's safely inside. I'm getting one of my nasty feelings.
Plastic explosive.
Mm-hmm.
Detonators. Time fuses.
Thanks, old boy. Going to start your climb?
Yes. It'll take a good half hour to get to the top.
Rather you than me, old boy. Never had any head for heights. Keep in touch with the walkie-talkie.
Right.
Tablet in the car.
How much further have you got to go?
About 10 feet. I'll be all right. Just give me a couple of minutes to rest.
We have not got a couple of minutes, old boy. The fuses go off in 90 seconds.
Tell His Excellency that if we don't move off now, he's going to be late.
That's all right, sir. They're coming.
Ready with the left. Travers to all units. We're coming down now. Repeat, we're coming down. What the hell?
Power failure, sir.
It's all right, ladies and gentlemen. The emergency generator should be cutting in any second. Ah, there we are.
Colonel, we'll have to use the staircase.
Why?
The emergency power only extends to the main lifts below.
Damn.
It's only one flight, sir.
But it means going outside. Is there any other way?
I know, sir.
Check the staircase, check the roof, check everything. Right.
No, not the lift, Your Excellency. Slight snag, I'm afraid.
Harry, old sport. Can't see you from here. Are you in position? Answer me, Harry. Are you in position?
In position.
Good. Target should be in view any second. Are you lined up on that roof door, Harry? Harry!
Yes. I'm lined up on the roof door.
Stairs, lifts, roof, corridors, all checked and all clear.
Right, let's get it over with. Warn everyone we're coming down now. Your Excellency, if we could go now, please. This way, it's quite safe.
Harry, I can't see properly from down here, but I think the roof door's opening.
Yes. Someone's coming out. It's the Colonel. Cabinda's behind him. Damn!
What is it?
The Colonel's right in the line of fire. I can't see Cabinda. Move, Colonel! For God's sake, move!
Did you get him?
I got him. Yes, I'm sure.
Bloody motherfucker, Harry. Now, get down here as quick as you can before they work out where the shot came from.
Harry! That's far enough!
What? I'm not down yet!
I know, old sport. But that's as far as you're going, I'm afraid.
Tom! No!
Yeah! Crossland, Colonel Travers. Come in, please.
Travers, what is it, Tom? All hell's breaking out here. Cabinda's dead.
I know, sir. I've just shot the man who killed him. It was Harry Davis.
Can they take Davis's body away now, Colonel?
Yes, as soon as they like. Pity you couldn't have got him before he killed Cabinda, Tom.
I didn't spot him at first, sir. Got him as he was climbing down. Still had the rifle. I had to shoot.
Of course you did. Where did it have it?
The minister for you, sir. On your car phone.
Right.
Travers.
Yes, Minister, we shot the assassin. His name was Davis, Harold Davis. No political motive, thank God. He was mentally unbalanced, obsessed with the idea that President Cabinda was plotting to kill his family. He even went to the police about it. I thought I'd taken every possible precaution. You're very kind, sir. Thank you. Good night.
Give me a lift back, would you, Tom? It looks so miserable, Tom. It went off perfectly.
It seems such a dirty trick.
Which is why they gave us the job.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be done, Tom. Cabinda was never coming over to us. His minerals and oil were going straight over to the communist bloc, and we couldn't let that happen. But with Cabinda dead, his vice president takes over the country, and he's fully committed to us.
Why did I have to kill Harry?
We couldn't let him live. You must see that.
Yes, I suppose so.
He was dying anyway, Tom. He wouldn't have lived more than a couple of weeks with that heart of his. He wanted his daughter to get his insurance. You've really done him a good turn. And you'll get your promotion. So what are you worrying about? Got a cigarette?
Yes, there should be a packet in the glove compartment.
Ah. Hello, what's this? A package addressed to you.
Well, that's Harry's writing.
What? No note.
This is a cassette tape.
I'd better hear what it says.
Tom, I stuck this tape in your glove compartment just before tonight's little job. If all goes well, retrieve it before you have a chance to play it. Trouble is, I'm getting suspicious. So many things have been happening in such a short time, I'm wondering if they're really genuine. That half-hearted attempt on my wife and daughter. Is Roger really dead, or has he been instructed to keep out of sight for a few days? Why was that booby-trap briefcase left where I couldn't fail to spot it? Perhaps everything's 100% kosher and Cabinda's men are just incompetent. But I keep getting the nasty feeling that I've been set up.
I told you he was no fool.
I've left a letter, Tom. Only to be posted if anything happens to me.
Yeah.
It's to the Colonel, telling him exactly what's been going on.
Hard luck, Harry. I already know. What's
just
that noise?
In case you don't recognize that sound, Tom, it's an acoustically coded signal to trigger off a car bomb. One of the dirty tricks I was taught in the set.
Bob Peck played Harry Davis, Julie Berry, Jenny Brown, Aubrey Woods, Tom Crossland, and Peter Howell, Colonel Travers, in Deadfall by R.D. Wingfield. Reynolds was played by Tim Reynolds, Joe by Alan Dudley, and the police and Secret Service agents by Stephen Thorne, Michael Tudor Barnes, and Paul Gregory. Deadfall was directed by Ian Cotterill.